pray.
Almighty God, thank you, Lord, in the midst of darkness, even gross darkness, there is victory, there is glory, there is power, there is triumph, because the Lord Jesus Christ is King, the light of the world. We have a gospel that is powerful because it rests on the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we come tonight, Lord, we are assembled together in His name. We thank you for these holy and beautiful moments. And we pray now that as our dear brother David stands to speak, that you would fill and anoint him with the Holy Ghost. Let your word be quickened to all of our hearts here tonight. Speak to us, Father. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Give us hearts that are reaching out to receive what you have for us, Father. And bless this service for your glory. Bless our brother David. Give him physical strength, clarity of mind. And bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Allen. We greet you all tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed risen Savior, who lives and is at the Father's right hand in our behalf. And it has been such a blessing for each of you to be here, for the things that we have heard from these faithful brethren that have been declared unto us, the word of truth, over these last several days, has been such a tremendous blessing and challenge and infilling and a part that we can receive and take home to our congregations and our families and our communities. God bless you men for coming, and your children and your wife at home, your congregation, your workplace is there. Many of them probably are saying, well, where's he at? Where did he get to? When's he coming back? All those kind of questions. God bless you for coming and give you a safe journey back home again. As you see on the brochure there, the text is St. John, or Epistle of John, chapter 5, and it's verse 4. And this is what it says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, that's a very simple message for us tonight, but it's one that's very necessary and needful for every one of us. I can say that, and I'm sure every one of you can say that, that the last word in that verse is our subject tonight. We could preach a lot about being overcoming and victory, and that's important. But if we're going to be an overcomer and have victory in this world, we're going to need faith. For without faith, there is no victory. That is the victory that overcometh the world. And if I'm correct, this is the only place John the Apostle ever used the word faith in the entire Scripture. I don't think you'll find the word faith one time in the Gospel of John, but he does use it here, this one time, the word faith, and it is a very important word. Now, he does use the word believe, trust, many, many times, more than all the others put together. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, the word believe, believing or believeth in there. But we're thankful tonight that God has ordained this faith for us. And we want to just look at this simple subject tonight and apply it to our hearts and pray that God would strengthen our faith. I don't know how many of you here tonight think maybe you need faith. Maybe you don't. You know, in our land, when we have so much, we don't hardly ever get in need of things, do we? We do, but when it comes to spiritual things, like our brethren have been so faithfully preaching to us and inspiring and challenging us, we do need faith. Yes, indeed, we do. So faith is very, very important. Faith, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10:17, comes by hearing. That's how we receive faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Thank you, brother. That's a very, very important verse for our subject tonight. That's how we have the Word of God. And I think also we could use the word reading the Word of God in there, but hearing the Word of God, because you know when the apostles and Paul and them, they didn't have the New Testament like you and I to preach from. They had the Old Testament. They might have had some of it entering in there towards the end of their... Some of you know probably some of them dates a little better than I do. But Paul didn't write most of his epistles, so he was in prison. And when he was out there during his journey, I believe it was important for him to preach the Word of God. And it says faith comes by the Word of God. When God's inspired eternal Word enters the heart, the mind, the soul, the conscience, and all that which is created by God, it produces a connection to God. And faith is our connection link to God. And that's why it is very, very important. Faith is very important. It's our connection to God in Christ, and it also is the vehicle in between us and faith and God. Purge me, Psalms 51:7 says, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Now, how is it that a weed can clean us? You ever think about that? Why was the psalmist praying that? Because the hyssop was the plant, it grew out of a wall, that Moses used when God told him to take blood and put it on the doorpost of every person, and if the blood was not applied when the death angel passed through the lion, the eldest son in that house was taken and did not live. Now, what was the most important thing? The blood. The blood that he needed to see. But the hyssop was the instrument. Or we might say the brush. We would use called a brush, maybe, that he used to dip in blood. And that's why he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Yes, wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. Hyssop is not the washing element, but hyssop, or faith tonight, is what applies God's eternal word of truth. And when we are a sinner and repent of our sins and confess them to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is by faith the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and forgives us from all sins and fills us with the Holy Ghost. Now faith, while it is very important, will not be in heaven. We won't need it over there. No, we're going to see him over there, but we cannot see him now. And you know, it is the connecting link, faith is, between us and God. Satan knows that. As he does. Satan knows, and he is our enemy, and he's out to destroy our faith and our purpose. That's why in the Ephesians letter, Apostle Paul writes there in chapter 6, where he talks about the armor of God. And he names, I think it's 6 things that are we consider the armor pieces. And he brings out the one called faith. And what does he say about faith? Above all. Above all. Take unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And God knows that, but so does our enemy, the devil. But when we have faith in God and His holy word, we have a shield that protects us from all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yes, we do, and we praise God for that. Now, if we return to Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the faith chapter. It says here in verse 1, now faith, there he talks about, and I like to ask the question, what is it? What is faith, anyhow? And Hebrews chapter 11 gives us some descriptions there that we want to look at this evening. Hebrews 11, 1. What is it? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the word now is first. What does that mean? That means it's a connecting link to chapter 10. So let's go back to chapter 10, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by what? Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But as we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe, and that is what faith is, them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he starts the faith chapter with the word now, with those two verses connecting us to the substance and the evidence in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now that word substance is an interesting word. You only find it, if I'm correct, only 4 times in the New Testament. The word substance. And I think many of us know very well where the one is, the prodigal son. It says he wasted his substance with riotous living. That means his money. That's what it is. Substance is your money, or your possessions, or your goods. That's normally what it means. And the other one is over there, and I'm not exactly sure where that verse is, but it says those women, and it names a couple of them, Joanna and Mary, and a couple of those. It says they ministered unto Jesus of their substance. That means they gave him food to eat. That's the second place you'll find the word substance. The third place, if you just back up a little bit in chapter 10, a little bit more, you'll find it there. It says here in verse 34, in chapter 10, "For you had compassion of one of my bonds, and took joyful in the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." And he's talking about the food that they gave him and the goods that they gave him to help him and to feed him. But he says, over in heaven, you're going to have one that is never going to run out. Sometimes we run out of goods here. Sometimes we have food gets all here. And I think if you could talk to some people in the world, it would be quite a few of them. I don't know how many thousands it is that die every day from starvation, but it's an enormous amount of people that die every day from starvation. But we don't know anything about that, do we? No. And if we did, I think faith would be more of an important element maybe than it is to us when we have so much. So now, faith is the substance. The word substance here is a little bit different. It means something just a little bit different than the other. It means confidence, assurance, and persuasion of things. And my question is, what things? He says, things not seen. That's how he ends that verse. And that is the enduring substance that you and I have in faith in Christ Jesus. It's a confidence and an assurance and a persuasion. And that's what faith is. And if you're here tonight, like in my own life, I have areas in my heart that I need faith to be better than it is. I need faith to grow. Are you here tonight lacking faith? I think we all need the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of God's eternal word. The unseen things. That's why we struggle so with faith. Because it's evidence of something you can't see. That's why it's hard to grasp. Of things unseen. So with faith, it prevails to things that we cannot teach, we cannot touch, we cannot taste, we cannot handle, and we can't even see. That's faith. Those things that last part of that verse there brings out is things that we can't touch, taste, handle, feel, or see. That's tremendous when you think about all those things that we have faith in that you cannot see. We cannot see our God. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And you're going to read that over there in verse 6 of the same chapter. It's impossible to live a life that pleases God if I don't have faith in Him. And a lot of people who are unbelievers, when you talk to them about the Lord and God, and they want to know, where is He? What's He look like? Why can't we see Him? And it just seems like they cannot grasp that thing of faith. They think, well, why are you talking about somebody you can't see, touch, taste, handle, or feel? You can't talk to Him. We can talk to Him through the Spirit. Yes, we can. But faith is that confidence that God and Jesus Christ sitting at His right hand, having raised from the dead and shed His blood and is resurrected, and now He intercedes in our behalf, and He promises, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you will not need faith there. When you're living in the reality of heaven with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Things hoped for. Faith and hope stay together in the Scripture. Have you noticed that? Yes, they do. One without the other is a minor hindrance. Can be a minor hindrance. Do you have that lively hope this evening, dear brother? Is there anyone here tonight that don't? I trust these people here tonight. The way I've been talking to all you, dear brother, and hearing you sing. Thank you for the singing, brother, tonight. And the fellowship. I would say you are born again people. Believing by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's probably areas in your life, maybe similar to Madai, that we still need faith to grow. Yes, we do. But hope. It says in Romans 8:24, we are saved by hope. But without hope, we're lost. That's what that means. Also, without faith, it's impossible, as I already said, to please Him. The evidence of things not seen, those convictions of proof, however, what we do, faith is hope in action, also defined as obedience, joyful, willing obedience in the Scriptures. So then, it's more than mental assent. Faith is the confident conviction of the unseen realities of God, and God is true. Praise God forevermore. That's what faith is. It's the unseen conviction of the realities of our unseen God. Faith is a connecting link between substance and evidence. Between the Word of God that we hear and the actions of willing obedience that we do when we hear the Word of God. Faith is that connecting element there. Yes, it is. It transfers us. And it says over there again in Romans, it says, hope is the expectation, anticipation of unseen promises of God. It's a preactive power that then activates faith, and faith believes they exist, and hope knows one day we will have them. That's hope. We have hope of heaven and being there with God, and faith and hope go together there by that. We have some other verses of faith here that we're just going to read while we have this page open here. Philippians 3:9, that we may be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise God for that. Romans 9:30, again uses that same phrase, the righteousness which is of faith. Romans 10:6, but the righteousness which is of faith. And Romans 3:22, even the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. That faith. Praise God. Philippians 2:17 says, there, and the sacrifice and service of your faith. Paul says, I rejoice. I joy and rejoice of the sacrifice of your service and joy of faith. Now, faith is, some people say faith, positive thinking. And I think I probably gave this illustration before at this place. I'm not sure. Faith is more, some people think it's just positive thinking. That's how you got to do it. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't involve some positive thinking. And then we would say, and it's not negative thinking. No. But it's positive. But there's a story, it goes a little like this. A woman was sick and she went to her doctor and he gave her medicine. She took the medicine and it didn't help her. And she called him back and said, that medicine didn't help me. He said, well, come on in and I'll give you another one. So he went into her and he gave her the second medicine. And when he gave it to her, this is what he told her. Now, when you take this medicine, just think it makes you better, and it will. It really works. Try it. It's called positive thinking. She wasn't with that one. But she took us out of his office and went out to the cashier to pay her, and the cashier said, your bill is so much. She stood there a while, and then this is what she said. I tell you what, you just think you're paid and you'll be paid. It really works. Try it. It's called positive thinking. Try it. So that's where positive thinking can become too strong here. I would like to say realistic thinking is also part of the heart as we face life. Yes, it is. Hope that which is confident. Let's consider Abraham's faith. There in Romans chapter 4, verse 18:25. He was a man of faith. Indeed he was. And he didn't grow up with that faith. I believe he probably was we would call him maybe an unbeliever. But God called that man, and he was a man of faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory, it says over there in Colossians chapter 1, 27, heaven. Hope references here in Hebrews chapter 6. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, steadfast to the end. That's hope, brothers and sisters, of heaven. And in Hebrews 6, 18, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have, what does it say? As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth into the veil. Praise God, that's what hope is going to do for us. Indeed it will. And coupled again with faith. 1 John 3:3. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. Now let's just look at some of the fundamentals of faith. I have, I don't know, four of them here written down. We'll look at them. What is faith? I'd like to say this, number one. Faith is a genuine belief in God, His existence, His creation, and all His Word teaches us of Him. That's what faith is. It believes in that unseen God that we cannot see. But we praise God, He hears our prayers. We praise God, He fills us with, and we'll get to that other one here, number four, the Holy Spirit. Number two, faith is undoubting trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for our soul's salvation, His conception, His birth, His life, His ministry, His sufferings, His death, His shed blood, His resurrection, His ascension, and His soon coming return. Faith is trusting Jesus Christ. Number three, faith is an unfailing dependence in the truth of God's eternal, inspired Word for all of life and practice. Praise the Lord. We believe the Word of God, don't we? Yes, we do. Some people say, a whale could never swallow a man like Jonah. Their throat ain't that big. Did you believe it? Let me ask you this. Would you believe it if it said Jonah swallowed the whale? Yes, we believe the Word of God. Indeed we do. Praise God forevermore. Number four. Faith is our yielding our all to the working and power of the Holy Ghost. He empowers, He inspires, He leads, He guides, and He brings us into all truth. We praise God for that forevermore, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 6:30, Jesus says, O ye of little faith. Does He ever say that to you? Do you ever feel that way? O ye of little faith. He also says in Mark 4:40, how is it that you have no faith? You have no faith. Say that to His disciples. Do you think He ever says that to us? I mean, they were living in His presence. And He says to them, how is it that you have no faith out there in that storm at sea today? Where is my faith? Where is your faith? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 there, some shall depart from the faith. I believe you've heard a good bit about that throughout these meetings. And the way things are going in our world that we live today, and the way in the direction it's going, says they shall depart from the faith. The Bible also says in 1 Timothy 1:21, they have erred from the faith. Talking about some there, they've erred from the faith. It also said in 1 Timothy 1:19, some have made shipwreck of their faith. They didn't make it, did they? No, when a shipwrecks, it goes down. 1 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Ooh. Well, that's written to believers. Do you examine yourself? Before we have communion, we have what we call examination service. And that's one of the verses I remember as long as I live, the old brethren preaching before communion about examination. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Why wouldn't somebody think they're not in the faith? They're with the church and with God's people. Maybe Satan deceives. Yes, he does sometimes. Says also in 2 Timothy 3:8, some are reprobates concerning the faith. Reprobates concerning the faith. Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word preached, not being mixed with faith, did not profit them. Ooh. So brethren and sisters, brethren, when we hear the word of God, believe what the brethren or preacher from the scriptures. Lay it in your heart. Embrace it by faith, because it says, and he's speaking about the children of Israel, I know, but it says the word preached in them, not being mixed with faith, did not profit them. And I think that can be true in my life and your life. If fact, that was true in my life for many, too many years. Yes, it was. I grew up hearing preaching all my life. I don't know anything about not going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. That was my life. I became a member at 12. I was baptized. I took communion, but I was not saved until I was 17. And I knew it. I'm not saying there wasn't a work of my heart by faith when I was 12, because I do believe God called me. But as I grew into my teenage years and started going out in the world with the other young fellows, my heart got worse and worse and worse. And I was a sinner. And I knew if Jesus would come or I would die, I was not ready to go. I didn't know that. And I think some of that is because of some of the powerful preaching I sat under. I mean, some of them old brethren, one of them was my father. And one of them was another brother. And the way them brethren preached, in fact, that's what got me saved. They preached a message on hellfire one night on a Sunday night, and it wasn't even in a church. It was just some little building where they were gathering together there. And it really wasn't an organized group of people. And I'm not promoting that, but I'm just saying that's how it was. And my wife and I were there. She was my girlfriend at the time. We were there, and that man preached a message on hell I couldn't shake. I mean, I couldn't get rid of that thing. I did get out of the church. But when I got to my girlfriend's parents, I got Papa Wake. I said, Papa, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? He had prayer for me. And I drove my old 57 Chevy half hour home from my wife's, my girlfriend's place that night to my father and went up the steps and knocked on his door. Said, Dad, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm going to hell. And I knew I wasn't a real bad sinner like some people are. I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't into drink. I didn't smoke cigarettes. No. Oh, I did one time when one young fellow wanted to give me one. I couldn't always stand the thing and threw it away. But that wasn't it. But my music that I listened to off the radio, that was my issue. And I tried hard to get rid of listening to that music by myself, and I could not do it until that night. And brother, when we prayed, I prayed for 3 nights. And you might say, well, why so long? Well, I wanted to know I was saved. I knew I was lost, and I wanted to know I was saved. Sunday night, Tuesday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, the joy of the Holy Ghost come into my heart for the first time in my life. And I was a changed and transformed man. And that's when I took the sledgehammers to all my radios. We had them little transistor radios in them days because our parents didn't want them to have, so we'd sneak them under our pillows on our bedroom or wherever we could. But praise God, them old radios got smashed. Hallelujah. But here's the regret I have from it. Some of them old songs that the Beatles sang and some of them back in the 60s, they still, sometimes I'll get into a store and hear them things and them words are right there because I could sing the top 10 songs, every one of them by word when I was listening to that thing. But I praise God for deliverance, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. James tells us, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. That's another way that we have not faith. Corinthians 2:3 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what faith does. It stands in the power of the Holy Ghost. Indeed it does. Hebrews 11:6, we had that one. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Ooh, well, there's not much room left in that sentence, is there? That's just how faith is impossible to please him. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's Romans chapter 14, verse 23. You'll read that. You know, Jesus said to Peter on that boat, Luke chapter 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But he says, I have prayed for thee that what? Thy faith fail not. Did it fail? Yes, it did. It sure did. I think in the same chapter, he denied the Lord. He says, I know not the man. It failed. But I want to tell you, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Thank you for that message on crying, brother. He went out and wept bitterly. He cried to the Lord. And I don't believe he ever denied him after that. Praise God. No. His faith that Jesus says, I prayed, would fail not. It stayed on. Praise God. For many, many years unto the end of his life. Now, you know, the face of the dead needs to become the face of the living. As we consider our parents, our grandparents, our brethren that were before us, and that is a little saying I have written down here, that if the living face of the dead don't become the dead, if the living face of the dead becomes the dead face of the living, we're going to miss it. We need, brothers and sisters, that living face of those who went on before us. But if that living face becomes dead face, we're not going to not be in too good a shape. Habakkuk 2:4, you only find the word faith twice in the Old Testament, and that's one of them. The other is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where it says, children in whom is no faith. But there in Habakkuk 2:4 is a beautiful verse on faith. The just shall live by his faith. Praise God. And you'll find the New Testament writers two more times writing that same word. Indeed it is. In Deuteronomy, it's God said, children in whom is no faith. He said they are a very forward generation. They're not willing to yield to God. And you know, the old devil, I told you, he knows what's faith. And that's the first thing he did in the garden. He questioned the word of God to them. And he's still going out to you and I, brothers and sisters. Yes. What did he say to Eve? Yea, has God said? That's what he said, did he not? To question God's eternal truth is Satan's most effective and decisive way of deception. And I tell you, he has deceived many people. Yes, he has. What did it say of Job? Does Job fear God for naught? It was a question to Job that he put to Job. Yes, he did. Does Job fear God for naught? Jesus says in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I think one of our brothers said, he will. I believe that Brother John this afternoon. He will. There will be faithful people, praise God. And let's see to it that we are in there. When he comes, will he find faith in the earth? 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we walk in the light of that eternal being. Let's consider Moses when we think about him. He was a man of faith, and he was warned of God of things to come. We walk by faith and not by sight, it says there in Corinthians. And he believed God. Now, James says faith without works is dead. Did Noah have any works? Yes, he did. He had a unit 450 foot long. And what was it all based on? Faith. And he thought that man probably was crazy. He probably thought that man needed to go and get his mind checked. Why would you ever build a boat like that up there in this hill? He'll never get that thing out of here. And I guess they mocked him and they scoffed him, and I can hear him coming up there laughing at him. But he had faith in God, and his faith failed not. And he had evidence of an unseen God that told him, Noah, build an ark for the saving of your house. Yes, build an ark, Noah, for the saving of your house. James 2:20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There we have that again. Yes, if it has no evidence. It says over in the book of Hebrews 11:23 there about Moses. What does it say about Moses there? His faith that he had. I think we heard some more about Moses earlier this day. It says Moses in Hebrews 11:23. It says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. But he endured seeing him who is invisible. All the way down to the other land. He got down there and he came back. Yes, he did. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. James 2:5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren. We need to do that. Hearken. We need to hearken to the word of God. Now, we could talk about the word overcoming. It was in our text here, and we find that a lot in them Revelation churches about how some of them overcame and some of them did not overcome certain things. Yes, overcomers. And you know the Laodicean church there. They needed faith. Yes, they did. They did. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. But he that opens, he says, I'll enter to him. 1 Timothy 1:19, some having put away the faith have made shipwreck. I think we already had that. Matthew 6:30, O ye of little faith. How is it ye have no faith? That's Luke chapter 8:25. Where is your faith? They overflow the saints of some. Some shall depart from the faith. Yes, and I think we already had it. Some have erred from the faith. Some have made shipwreck of their faith. I think we did have those verses. Now we want to look at two people that had faith in the Bible. And they both were in the time of Jesus. And we just want to look first at that man that was a centurion. And we find his story over here in Matthew chapter, let me see where I can find this here. Eight, I believe, is what my eyes are saying that says there. Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn there and see if we can find the story of a man there who was a centurion. And it says he had a servant. Yes. No, that's not the one. Here it is. Chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. What a blessing to hear Jesus say that. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For you see, he says, I'm also a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, I don't know what you think of that statement, but here we got, I guess you would say, an unbelieving centurion man. The word centurion means he was a man who had 100 soldiers under him. And he caused Jesus to marvel. Did you ever hear any of the disciples or any of the Jews and the scribes and Pharisees talking to Jesus and it says he marveled over what they said? It says he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That is my people. I haven't found that kind of faith. But here I meet this centurion man. And he has the greatest faith I've ever found. What could God say to us this evening? All right. Now we have another one here. It says he marveled, not found such a great faith. It's the Canaanite woman. That's Matthew chapter 15, just over a couple of chapters. The Canaanite woman. You know that situation there. We all know it very well. Verse 22. Well, let's go to 21. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now look up at verse 23 says. But he answered, no. I'm not in the right gospel. One of the other gospels says, but he answered her not a word. I think it's Luke's. You can correct me on that. Verse 22. I didn't get there far enough yet, huh? Okay. But he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Now, what would you think if you went to Christ and asked him to do something and he wouldn't answer? This woman here, she had this grievously vexed daughter. And now she's coming to Jesus with her child. How she got there, where she came from, says she was a Syrophoenician woman. But she asked Jesus Christ to have mercy upon her, for she says, my daughter is grievously vexed. And this woman, we don't have her name, says where she was from there. We don't know how she heard of Christ. Did she hear? Or maybe she was in a crowd and saw him heal someone else and went home and got her devil? Or her daughter? Did she maybe possibly see him cast devils out of someone else and knew that's just exactly what my daughter needs? But it says he answers her not a word. That's obstacle number one for this woman. It's faith. How do you and I feel when we don't hear from God? Psalms 22 verse 2 says, "Oh God, I cry, but thou hearest not." Do you ever find it that way? I think sometimes we can all say that. Yes. Does he have is his ears deaf? Is his eyes dim? Is his arms short? Or don't he care? And like that one songwriter says, "My poor heart aches till it nearly breaks, and my tears fall like rain." Does Jesus care? And I suppose that was in her thought there. He is completely silent. Obstacle number two. The disciples say, "Send her away." With continued crying, no pity, no sympathy, no mercy on this worthless Gentile woman. No time for such a slug, maybe they call her. She's not church building material. We don't need her around here. That's what they said there. Get rid of this lady. Send her away. That's obstacle number two. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? You're just not wanted, are you? That was her issue. Now we come to obstacle number three, verse 24. But he answered and said, now he's talking. He didn't talk before. Now he's talking. He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What would we call that today? Discrimination? Racism? Separation? Culture separation? Prejudice? Rejection? And I don't know what went through that lady's mind. But she was honest. First, he didn't answer. Second, the disciples said, "Send her away." Now he says, "I came to be with the Jews." That's what he's saying. "You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then what's it say she does? And brethren, this is an important thing for faith. She came and worshiped. She worshiped. And sang, "Lord, help me." She didn't give up. Now, I wouldn't doubt maybe some of her friends came with her. And I can see them standing over there alongside the road. "See? I told you he wasn't going to help you. We told you not to come all the way up here and just take all the time. You've got to get here. Now, look. See? Here you are. You got three times already. You're turned down. Now, he says, you're not even one of her people. He can't help you." And sometimes the old devil brings them kind of thoughts into our face, doesn't he? Yes, he does. And we ask of God. Yes. But she came and she worshiped. Praise God. She acknowledged him as her God, her creator. Saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's meat and give it the bread." This is really obstacle number four. But does she give up? Do you and I give up that easy? Faith endures. Faith endures. Oh, Lord, give us such faith like this, I say tonight. It endures. Yes, it does. She comes and she worships. She falls at his feet in broken humility. Self is bowed down. And I went out, she tenderly kissed his feet with reverence and honor. And then he said, "Truth, Lord," she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." That's all right. I understand I'm a dog. She could have said, "I'm not a dog. I'm a human being. Don't you know that?" That would be discrimination in today's society, wouldn't it? It certainly would. But you know, the word dogs in 26 and the word dogs in 27 is two different Greek words. They're not the same. And here's the difference. The word dogs in 26 is grown dogs or big dogs. If you look the word dogs up in the Greek in verse 27, it's puppies. Just little dogs. So she said, "Okay, I'm willing to be a puppy and eat crumbs. I don't need any of your table, Lord. I don't need any of that. I'll just eat the crumbs in the floor of your tent when you're sitting there and taking care of your sheep. And you want your tent there for lunch. I'll just eat the crumbs of all. That's all I need, Lord. This is little crumbs." And what did Jesus say? Despite all these obstacles, she lays her life on the line. She could have been a lot like Esther. They could have told her, you're not a Jew. He's not to tell them to stone you and get rid of you. But she lays her life on the line. She falls before the Savior of the world, adorning His majesty, His deity, His power. She loves Him. She honors Him. She makes no issue of His silence time and the disciples' rebuke. But she just says, Lord, help me. And I'll eat them crumbs, following your master saying. What does it say in verse 28? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. If you could, please tell me anywhere else in the Bible Jesus said anything like that to a woman. I'm not saying it's not there, but I haven't found it yet. Did he say that to any other woman? O woman, great is thy faith. May God help us to have that kind of a faith tonight, brothers and sisters. We need it. Yes, we do. Jude 3 says, I'm closing. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And also in Jude chapter verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, yeah, that's true too. But you building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Bless the Lord. We need the Holy Ghost. I told the brothers tonight in the room back there. They said nobody's going to moderate tonight. I said, well, we'll let the Holy Ghost moderate. We need Him in our lives, as we do, to preach His word and to live for Him. Pray in the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. That's something we indeed need to do. Is there someone here tonight and you need faith? We can preach a lot more. We have a lot more to preach, but we're going to bring it to a close. Do you need faith? Is there areas in your life where you have failed God and you failed His word and you left Satan? Take God's word. You know, Satan always does. That's what we had that today too from somebody's message. Yesterday, Satan used the word of God even up there to tempt Christ, didn't he? Yes, he did. But Jesus used the word of God right back at him every time. Yes, he did. And praise the Lord, we need to do that. So if you're here and your faith is weak, and you have areas of your faith that has just not been what God's word said it should be, we're going to invite you to come forward tonight. If our hymn leader has a verse of hymn here to sing, what would that be? What did you say? 29, I'm sorry. 629. And it's just as I am, and as God, I'm not sure we're going to sing all this. We'll just sing it verse by verse here. And if you need faith, and you have areas where your faith is weak and it needs strengthened, come as we sing this song. Please sing. Bless you, brother. Sing another verse. Bless you, brother. Before we sing another verse, I'm going to open it up. Maybe you just have something you'd like to stand up and confess or say or correct. We'll give you that opportunity shortly here before we sing the next verse. Anybody? All right, sing verse 3. All right, we'll just continue there. Let's all stand and have a word of prayer, after which you are dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. It is true. Thank you, it brings faith to our hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God we read tonight. Bless every dear brother in this room, their wives, their children, bless them. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for their steadfastness. Thank you for this joy of being here together as brethren in Christ, the singing, the fellowship, the worship time. Lord, it's all, we give you all the honor and the glory. Bless these two that responded openly, and if there's others who need to respond, just working them to do that and work that out. We'll commit each one to you. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.